الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان الله. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that He accepts our deeds from us. Or you can even say that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that we even have the possibility of our deeds being accepted. I was just thinking about something the other day, and it just goes to show and remind us how merciful Allah is that we even have the opportunity to think that our deeds will be accepted. And I was thinking about this in the context of this masjid project. You know, this obviously it's been going on for a while now. But subhanAllah, you know, like, I don't know how many years it's been. I mean, I don't sit there and count, you know, every day, but maybe we've been doing this now for like 4 or 5 years. And I was thinking about this project, and I was just thinking about, well, I mean, the reason I'm thinking about it is because it's like, I'll just tell you, like, this thing is aging me. I can feel it. Like, you know, like, so many things are like, I've done so many things, but this is the one thing in my life that, you know, I can feel like my eyes are tired, you know, that type of thing. So I was just thinking about it in the context of that. And I was thinking, subhanAllah, there's so many steps. Like, every little detail, there's so many little steps. Like, for example, just you know, very, very broad principles. You know, first you have to have the himma to actually want to do, let's say, build a building. And somebody has to get that, he has to have that himma, Allah has to provide that himma for them. Then beyond that, you know, there's like a planning phase. You sit down and you think, okay, this is what it should be like, and this is the way that everything should be put together. This is how each space should connect with the other. This is how many wudu stations are needed. This is how many doors are needed. This is where the doors need to go. This is how the ceilings will be. This is how the walls will be. This is how the lights will be. That's all like this detailed planning phase. All right. Now the detailed planning phase, that takes like a year, roughly a year or 2 years, depending, you know, on the size of the project. Then after the detailed planning phase is done, then you have to say, okay, now there's like a construction phase where you actually go out and say, okay, these are the plans. This is what I aim to produce. But these are the people who have to do it, right? It's not going to be me. I just have an idea. Or it's not going to be the community. The community just has an idea. But here are the people who have to do it. So I have to find somebody who's going to dig a hole in the ground. Okay, and they can't just dig any holes. I have to like make a nice hole, and it has to be arranged in a proper way. Then I have to find somebody who's going to support the bottom of the hole with concrete. And then you have all these steps. There's the person who's going to put the brick, the person who's going to put the wires, the person who's going to put the drywall, the person who's going to put the framing, the person who's going to put this screw and that screw. And it's funny because even in the process of the building, even we come up with ideas like, oh, something should happen here. Like, we don't know what we're, you know, it's the first time. So, like, we'll be talking amongst each other and say, like, something should happen here. And then one person will be like, who does this? Like, even that question comes up. Like, who's supposed to do this? Is it supposed to be this guy, or should this trade do it, or should that, you know, person do it? So, like, there's this whole phase of, like, all these different workers. And then all the workers have to be sequenced, right? So this worker has to be sequenced against this worker, has to be sequenced against this worker. Then you have to bring worker A back. Then worker B can do his work. Then worker C has to come. Then worker B has to come back. Like, everything is sequenced. All right. Once everything's sequenced, then everybody wants their space. Everybody wants their space, and they need their setup. So for example, worker A says that in order for me to work, I need this much space. Worker B says, I need to put my materials here. Worker C says, I need this person out of my hair. I don't want anybody in the building. And when I'm doing my work, I want to be alone. Okay. Then another worker says that, oh, you know, in order to complete my job, I need lighting, but there's no lights in your building, so I need you to put temporary lighting. How am I supposed to work in the dark? How am I supposed to work at this height? How am I supposed to work at this place? Everybody's got their own demands. So, like, everything is being sort of stacked on everything else. But, like, the amazing thing is that even in the context of a whole building, there's only a limited, finite number of pieces to it. So I was thinking yesterday, like, okay, so we're building this building, but in the end, it's finite. You know, it's defined. Like, I have a set of plans, and I can go through those plans, and I can count things up. Now, I mean, like, how many pieces are actually here? Like, I was thinking about the number of pieces. So, like, for example, I can tell you that there's like 42,000 bricks on the building. Okay, something like that. I could tell you that, you know, there's probably like 600 sheets of drywall in the building. Then I can tell you that every sheet of drywall has this many screws. So there must be this many screws in the drywall, you know. So I was adding it all up. I was just thinking about all the pieces and adding it all up. I was like, okay, maybe there's like 100,000 pieces, maybe 200,000 pieces, not more than 500,000 pieces, including the screws and all that. So then in the context of that, I was saying, subhanAllah, like, we make all this effort to produce like a building. Let's say you're making a masjid. You make all this effort to produce a masjid. And in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's so minuscule. Right? Because Allah created the universe. It's like, who are you to like stand up and say, I did something? Like, all this energy, all this time, all this like worry, all this anxiety, all these discussions, hours and hours and not hours, thousands, tens of thousands of hours, you know, of discussions. And all of it for what? For like basically like a stick figure. You know, like a kid when you go to grade school and in preschool, they say like make a house, then they give you popsicle sticks. And like they glue the popsicle sticks together and they make like a house. Like that is more complex compared to the masjid than the universe is compared to what we're doing. You know, it's like, subhanAllah, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like nothing. Right? I mean, the reality of it is nothing. The intention behind it is different, but the reality of it is nothing. Now, then I was thinking like this, and then an example hit my head. And then I just said, subhanAllah, I just should just stop right here. Because it's just, you can't even compare. And the example that came to my head, I was reading separately in biology, because this is what I do. Like, one day I'm reading some construction thing, the next day I'm reading, like, my work biology stuff. Or, so I was reading actually in psych, you know, psychology. There was a chapter in psychology. And it was about development. So they're talking about the development of a human being. And because psychology plays a big role in the development of human beings, but they started from before the human being is there. Right, just to give you a context of where they're coming from. And then I'm reading and I'm thinking about what they're talking about. So, you know, then I started thinking, subhanAllah, like we are like struggling so hard and making such a big deal about building one building, you know, small little building with like maybe 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 parts to it, right? Including the screws. I mean, if you actually took the screws away, it's not even more than 150,000 pieces, you know, drywall, brick, this, that. And we make such a big deal out of it, and everybody needs their space, and everybody needs their plans, and everybody needs to be told what to do. But then I started thinking, the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful, infinite, and infinitely wise and able that He does far more complex things, and we don't even think twice. For example, just think about this one example. You know, a human being... Not a human being, a baby. Human being would be more complex. A baby, a baby at the day it's born starts as one cell, or basically you can say like one cell with the, you know, 46 chromosomes. So let's just say two cells that combine, right? We all know the biology. There's two cells that combine. And then from those two cells, that one cell divides to two cells divides to four cells divides to 8, etc., right? Now, I'm just thinking about this. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is building human beings, right? And in the dark, there's no light. You know, it's all happening. And every cell knows what to do and how to place itself. So that after 9 months, not 900 years, 9 months Allah builds a human being. 9 months. After 9 months, this human being comes out. And when it comes out, every cell is where it's supposed to be. It's just amazing. Then I was thinking, okay, so I have 500,000 parts of the building, that, like the masjid, for example. So how many cells are there? So in the back of my mind, I was thinking maybe there's 5 million, maybe 10 million, maybe 20 million, maybe at the most a billion. Then I started reading. It said that in a fetus, there's 34 trillion cells. 34 trillion cells. That means that in a 9 month period, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed the system such that one cell becomes 34 trillion cells. And every cell goes to the exact place it's supposed to be. And all of that happens in a tiny little constrained space. You know, like at the Masjid Project, every worker says, give me my space. I don't have enough space here. This guy's here. This guy put his materials here. Ask him to move his materials out of the way. This guy put the scaffolding in my way. You know? I mean, these cells, these 34 trillion cells are all on top of each other. They're compressed. They're actually expanding their space. They're growing in the uterus. You know, at 16 weeks, it's about as big as the tip of your finger. Right? Now, 34 trillion cells, subhanAllah, and every cell goes to its exact location. Who? Somebody's in there managing it? No. Nobody's sitting there and saying, you go here, you go here. The guy doesn't sleep all night because he's managing 34 trillion cells and he's like, now I lost my head. Where is this cell and where is that cell? Nobody would even be able to do it. I'm telling you, all of humanity could sit down and they could sit and try to micromanage that process. They would not be able to get those 34 trillion cells in the right place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and sees and hears everything that's going on. Even though there's no noise, there's no light, there's nothing to be perceived. We're still trying to figure out how to even perceive what's going on with the embryo. We have to wait so many weeks to test for A, so many more weeks we test for B. We have 5 tests, 10 tests, maximum 20 tests that we're able to do. You know, we don't know what's going on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it all. And subhanAllah, that 34 trillion cells in the dark, in a tiny space with no room, every cell managing itself and understanding where it needs to go. And the whole thing happens in 9 months. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. It's amazing Allah's power. And then every time that blueprint is repeated over and over and over again, such that there's 5 billion, 6 billion people on the planet. There's no 6 billion buildings on the planet, I can tell you that right now. You know, in a city you have, I don't know how many thousands building, and everybody's, you know, all the construction people are saying, you know, I did too many. SubhanAllah. It's just, this is the majestic nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. It's just completely mind-boggling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates in the dark, in silence, alone, you know, invisibly, every cell knowing where it needs to go. And each time a human being comes out, you know, nobody says, oh, your liver is over here, and another person's liver is over here, and another person's liver is over here. Everybody's liver is in the same place. It all works out. And I can tell you that I've seen liver after liver. They all look the same. Now that 34 trillion cells, that's from the day it's made. Right? That's the day it's born. Then after it grows up, cells are added, complexity is added, knowledge is added, information is added, it grows, it's dynamic. I can tell you in the building, like the big thing, like one of the big things that keep coming up is we gotta do this for the future because we might this. What if we want to expand this? What if we want to add this? Let's leave extra here. Let's leave this here. Let's think about this there. You know, the human being, it's not even as complex as it needs to be. So much of the brain development that occurs in a human being occurs after birth, not when the 34 trillion cells are being laid out where they need to lay out. Now, then I started thinking, You know, subhanAllah, this is the amazing ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to orchestrate. Now, the funny thing is, like, one project, it just crushes you. Like, people say, like, these workers come in the building and say, oh, now you did one, now you'll be able to do two or three. It's like, no, I'm never doing this again, jazakAllah. I can't do this again. Like, I can feel my bones, you know, they aged from this process. They're just like, oh, you could do another one. You know, and subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, how many babies are born every day? Subhanallah. It's just happening over and over and over again. All over the world. One after one after one. And people are having, some of them have twins. Subhanallah. Where do twins come from? You know, like 70 trillion cells. Like, imagine somebody said, do you have to build two masjids next to each other? They have to look exactly the same. Everything has to line up. I can tell you, we can't even line up the lights in one building. SubhanAllah. Now you got to line up two buildings next to each other and everything has to look absolutely symmetric. There's no way it's going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is producing twins and triplets and quadruplets. SubhanAllah, you cannot fathom, no one can fathom the amazing ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just completely mind-boggling. And that's just the beginning. Like I said, you know, the building's not going to grow. If the building had to expand and contract, the whole thing would fall apart. Human beings, they come out as babies, they have to expand, they have to contract, they have to adapt, they have to be able to survive an X environment and Y environment. It's just completely mind-boggling. You put a human being in one environment, they learn that language. You put a human being in another environment, they have to learn that language. You know, the brain has to be set to receive the potential to memorize this many different languages. Right? I mean, I can take a kid who was born in one country and put them in another country. I can expose them to any one of the, you know, let's say hundreds of languages present on the planet. And their brain is not that, oh, you were born in this country, so you can never learn this language. If you put them in that country, they'll learn that language. So that means that the brain is programmed with the ability to learn all this vast information. Whatever you give, whatever you throw at it, it's ready to handle. That's the plasticity. That's the plasticity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the complexity of a 34 trillion fetus, 34 trillion cell fetus when it's born. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And then I start thinking, like, now I'm supposed to present this, like, tiny little, stick house? I'm supposed to present this on the Day of Judgment to the one who creates in that way? And I'm talking about one human being. The whole earth is not even one speck of the universe. I'm talking about one human being. The whole earth, with all of the human beings on it, is not even one speck in the universe of Allah's creation. There's so much more complexity that nobody even in the world understands. Then that puts you in your place. Like on the Day of Judgment, what, we're supposed to present what? The stick figure? And say we did something? In the face of that type of creation? No. That's nothing. Nothing that we ever do can ever amount to anything. Except that Allah, through His mercy, decides to accept the intention. That's what it boils down to. It's just that Allah decides to accept the intention. Just like a kid, you know, they go to school and they make a little stick house. And then you make a dua, you know, may Allah give you a house. That's such a nice house. May Allah give you a house in Jannah. Right? You just accept the effort. It's not worth anything. The kid feels like it's worth something, but it's really not worth anything in the context of even my own mind, let alone the, you know, if I gave it to the neighbor, they're not going to care. Now, you know, so we sometimes think like we're doing something, but the reality is that we don't do anything. Allah is the doer. We're the dependents. We're the fuqara. We have to stand before our Lord and we have to know who is that Lord. And that Lord has been described to us. When the Quran talks about the development of a human being, it's not just talking about some random facts. You know, people like to look at it scientifically and say, SubhanAllah, oh, see, the stages of embryogenesis, they've been described in the Quran. No, that's not it. Yes, that's it to one extent. But what's even more real, what's even more mind-boggling is that the embryogenesis is occurring. And in the way in which it occurs, it's just completely, you know, puts you into sujood till the akhirah. Like, honestly, like, all of us should just go into sujood till the akhirah if we just appreciated the creation of one human being, let alone 5 billion that currently walk the planet, or 6 billion that currently walk the planet. It's just amazing. And that's the magnificence of Allah. But the reality is that that sets us straight. You know, Allah talks about the mountains and the skies and the heavens and the universe and the people and the fetus and the seas. And, you know, it just sets us straight. That we're nothing. That we can never do anything except submit to Him and appreciate Him and glorify Him and praise Him. That's the reality of life. When a person applies themselves towards something, that's the only conclusion we can ever come to. You know, we make a little effort, we build a little building. The only conclusion we can come to from that, Allah is great. Allah is magnificent. Allahu Akbar. That's the only conclusion at the end. Because it's in the context of that that you begin to recognize that this is just a little stick house compared to what Allah has created. Not even, you can't even compare. I'm just giving it as an example. That's the end game. That's the reality of who we are. There's so many actually tangents to this. I don't have the time to go into it, but we have to appreciate. We should look at ourselves and we should just, you know, you look at your hand and you just say subhanallah. You know, you look at the children in the room and you just say subhanallah. Where did they come from? Who managed them? Where were the plans? Who was the GC? Who was the field supervisor? Who were the subs? There's none. There's no subs. There's no subcontractors. Every cell goes where it's supposed to go and does its own job and quietly in a way that respects the others. And everybody ends up, you know, with the features that they need. It's just subhanAllah, it just paralyzes a person. When you start getting into that detail, it just paralyzes that. How could that be managed? No supercomputer could manage the production of even one organ. Let alone the whole human being. No, all of mankind could take the responsibility. Okay, there's 6 billion of us, so let's divide 34 trillion or 37 trillion by 6 billion. We couldn't do it. We could not micromanage or manage even, or coordinate all of that complexity. Only Allah, in the dark, where no one can see, and no one can hear, and in a tiny little uterus, tiny space this big, everything comes out perfect. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. It's just a mind-boggling. And it puts everybody in their place. That's the conclusion. And by the way, I'm just giving you one example. But that's the conclusion from every angle. There is no achievement that any human being can ever achieve except that it just brings them to the reality or to the recognition of reality, which is that Allah is great. Whatever a human being achieves, that's the only conclusion. That's the end conclusion from whatever we do. So we should be wise and we should appreciate that. We should never, ever pat ourselves on the back thinking that we've ever achieved anything. Yes, it's Allah's mercy and only His mercy that He created a set of actions deemed worthy of being presented to Him. And beyond that, it's only His mercy that He creates the opportunity to accept those actions and give a reward far greater than anything we could have ever produced in exchange. That's the case with every salah. That's the case with hajj. That's the case with every fast. That's the case with hifz of Quran. Everything. Anything. Anything a person achieves, the only conclusion they can come to, so Allah is great. Allah created this opportunity for me, and Allah will accept it and give me something in exchange. That's what's mind-boggling. That's the mercy of our Lord. That someone who is creating at this level would even come to the realm of possibility that they would accept our stick figures. That's Allah's mercy, only Allah's mercy. We should be forever grateful to Allah that we even have such an opportunity. So anyway, a simple summary is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely merciful upon us, and we should approach the appropriate conclusion from whatever we do. And that is that it only happens through the tawfiq of Allah. It's nothing compared to the magnificence of Allah. But what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen so special is that it gives us an opportunity to present what little we're able to do and to anticipate a very large reward in exchange. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and open to be able to produce in His name. And may he open the eyes, may He open our eyes to the reality of all that we do. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.